Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Sidelined. I'm your host, Addison Ouellette.
I'm your co-host, Morgan Matz.
And in today's episode, we will be taking a preview look for the NFL. This episode will be the AFC North, so that's Cleveland, Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. Make sure you follow us on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and Twitter. You can tweet me at @A_Ouellette31.
Or me at MorganMatz1.
So, let's kick her off. We're going to go worst in the division to the best. We're going to look at notable moves. And then what their record could be at the end of next season. So, let's start off with Cleveland. Cleveland went 0-16 and 0-6 in the division. Where would you like to address Cleveland first?
Where do you even start with Cleveland?
Free agents, kind of what they did there.
I think if you're going to draft a quarterback number one, why would you trade for Tyrod Taylor? That's my personal opinion. Even if, I know you don't want to, sometimes when you don't have the best team, you don't want to throw your young quarterback into the fire. And then being the number one overall pick, and he doesn't show up and he doesn't turn your team right around, then he may look like he's a bust or not ready to lead a team. But I don't know. The Browns need to do something. And if they're going to draft a quarterback number one instead of drafting a running back like Barkley, maybe Tyrod Taylor wasn't the right move.
But look at Deshaun Kizer last year. He was a quarterback that couldn't be a starter. He just needed some time to develop, and Cleveland threw him right in there, and now he's just another name on that Cleveland jersey with all the quarterback names. So I'm thinking the Tyrod Taylor is, yeah, he may not be your ideal, but as a safety blanket, you gotta admit, Tyrod Taylor as a safety blanket isn't.
Tyrod Taylor as a safety blanket for $11 million?
They can drop him this offseason. That's the thing.
I don't know. And
so would you rather take the gamble of drafting a quarterback, because Cleveland needed a quarterback, drafting him first overall,
yeah, but they're not being successful. You can't say Cleveland needed a quarterback if they signed Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor, sadly, don't view him.
Yeah, really? They don't view him, but the way you're saying, they're probably going to start him all year.
Oh, no, he'll probably start week 1 to 3, kind of in that area.
Well, if in week 1 to 3, they should at least be, I would say 1 and 2.
1 and 2?
Because they play Steelers, Saints, and then Jets. And they only have one road game, and that's it with the Saints.
So, I'm thinking, you know, Baker Mayfield, he's a guy that, I don't know, I didn't enjoy the pick.
And who knows, he could come out in preseason and just light it up. And Tyrod Taylor, maybe he thinks that, young guy, this is my job. He ain't going to be, I don't need to worry about it. He lights it up in the preseason, bang, he's the starter.
Yeah, but as Tyrod Taylor, I think he's kind of open to be kind of a backup just in case. Because at least in Cleveland, you're wanted. When you were in Buffalo, they put Nathan Peterman, who threw 5 picks, because they didn't like Tyrod Taylor.
Okay. Yeah, at least he feels like he's maybe wanted in Cleveland. He's not just... And what'd they have to really give up for Tyrod?
Tyrod, a third round pick in 2018, so this last draft.
But at the end of the day, I still look at it as they have Kizer.
Mm-mm. He's a Packer. I didn't have that trade down. He got traded to the Packers for the corner slash defensive back. I'm blanking on his name, but...
So who's their third string then?
Third string... I'm not too sure.
Okay, well, that changes my perspective on this. I was going to say with Kizer, that they could have drafted Barkley at number one, have a stud running back,
and then
had Tyrod and
four at quarterback.
Yeah,
something like that. Well, let's kind of look at, we've got into some of the trades. Jarvis Landry. The trade, this is what the Browns had to give up. I was like, oh my god. A fourth round in 2018 and a seventh
in 2019.
Like,
that's ridiculous.
Well, he was franchise tagged and not too sure about contracts, but like, Jarvis Landry is he gets 100 catches. He's a 1,000-yard receiver. Like,
that's ridiculous. Just for a third and a seventh, like,
even
a fourth and a seventh. Sorry, yeah. Like, that's like you said, for a 100-yard catch guy and 1,000 yards a year with a, who was the Dolphins quarterback when Tannehill was hurt last year?
Nobody. Cutler.
Yeah, Jay Cutler. He can make do with anybody. And then they go to Cleveland. You know, I was looking at the schedule there. There was lots of people commenting. Everybody thinks that Browns 8-8, 8-9. I mean,
9-7.
Everybody thinks that.
We'll touch on that once we're done. Kind of looking at who's came, who's gone. I like looking at signing. The one name that probably popped out up the most was Carlos Hyde. I like that signing for Cleveland.
He played 49ers last year? Yeah.
Like, he's not a Bell or one of those backs, but he's a name.
Yeah, he's definitely not a guy that's a no-namer. He's not going to be shy in Cleveland either. They can't pass the ball every time.
Yeah.
And Tyrod, with his running ability, they'll probably throw in a little read option here and there.
Oh, yeah. Both quarterbacks.
He's going to get a lot of touches.
They drafted Denzel Ward to replace Jason McCourty, who they traded to New England. You got a sixth round pick, but you had to give up a seventh. I think that's just old with getting out with the old, bringing in the new.
Yeah. And touch on that, too. Leader in that room, Joe Thomas, retiring.
Yeah, that's a team. That's a huge hole for them.
I just feel bad for the guy. He's multiple time Pro Bowler, probably one of the best left tackles.
Oh yeah,
to play the game, and he never won nothing.
Just stayed loyal.
But he was a loyal guy, and at the end of the day, I guess loyalty and money made him want to stay in Cleveland more than winning a championship and getting paid $1 million for 1 year playing somewhere where he's going to win him one.
Yeah, I'd probably call up Joe Thomas and be like, want to be an offensive lineman coach or assistant or help coach the offensive lineman? Because
how old's Joe Thomas? He's not 40 yet, is he?
Oh, no. I think he's mid-30s. I'll take a quick look.
You know, he probably would say no, but if I was New England, I'd phone him up and say, hey, Joe, you want to play for 1 year, $1 million? Play on my O-line? We'll try to win you one, boy. He'd probably say no in New England, but he might say yes. They don't play the Browns at all this year, and if the Browns aren't going to make the playoffs, he's never going to have to see his team.
But I'm pretty sure he might have to. He's 33. I wonder if you'd have to like trade for his rights.
Oh, that's true. Could be like a Marshawn Lynch thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 33. Which, offensive lineman age, that's, you can't,
I don't know, that's not overly old.
I think, I'm pretty sure he suffered like a bicep tear or something. Which, as an offensive lineman, that's,
which is, yeah, you gotta use your arms a lot, you're pretty much screwed.
They also lost Downey Shelton. He also went to New England. I think he's going to play a big role for New England. That's a big body to stop the run. So I'm just kind of sitting around wondering, what's Cleveland's defensive tackles?
Yeah, I don't even know. maybe they got somebody coming up in the system. Maybe they got a guy from the practice roster for last year that...
Or even a young guy last year.
Right, that they think maybe he's taking the right steps forward to become a starter.
Okay, so I feel like we've touched everything, so let's kind of look at the schedule next week and predict what may happen for Cleveland. For
Cleveland, their schedule.
I think this is definitely a better team, though.
Oh, yeah. They added some good offensive pieces. So young guys got better. Their defense, they've got a lot of young guys that are taking the right steps forward. But, they don't have... I don't know what to say. They don't have a tough schedule, but...
Just being Cleveland and...
I think if Cleveland is going to do it this year, I think they could finish with like that 8-8. I think they could. They're playing a team like the Bengals, and twice. They're bums. I don't think they're going to do it. I think if any team in this league is going to go 0-16 this year, it's the Bengals, and AJ Green will be phoning up somebody next year for a new spot.
Oof.
They're playing Steelers twice. We'll touch on the Steelers later, but who knows with the Steelers defense this year.
I think that's too long.
But I still think that the Steelers are probably going to beat them. Raiders, Saints, Chargers. They're going to beat them. I think they're going to... The teams that they're going to win against...
You think they're going to beat the Chargers?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, they're beating the Chargers.
Miles Garrett is...
Hunter Henry?
No, Miles Garrett's Cleveland.
Yeah, I know. Hunter Henry is Chargers.
But he's hurt. He tore his ACL. I'm thinking Joey Bosa.
Yeah, but... Is he just going into surgery? Because they don't play them until week 6.
No, like, he tore his ACL. Like, he'll be out for the season.
Oh. Well, yeah. I don't know. The teams I see Cleveland beating are more like Jets.
Yeah.
Baltimore. Ooh, Bengals.
I think they're split the series with Baltimore, if anything.
Maybe KC. Maybe. Depending on how Patrick Mahomes does.
I'm thinking
an 8-8.
I'll go through the schedule. Steelers, week 1, lots of loss. Saints, loss. Jets, sneak win. Raiders, I think you get a win. Ravens, loss. Chargers, loss. Buccaneers, I think they could sneak away. Steelers, loss. Chiefs, loss. Falcons, loss. Then bye week. Bengals, sneak a win. Texans, loss. Panthers, loss. Broncos, loss. Bengals, win. Ravens, week 17, last week, win. So, I don't think they're going to be 8-8. I see them 5-11 to 6-10. Which, as a Cleveland Brown fan, that's a win.
Better than 0-16.
Let's go right into our next team. Cincinnati Bengals. 7-9 last year and 3-3 in the division. Noticeable moves. They traded to get Cordy Glenn and the 21st pick and a 5th round, but they sent a 12th pick and a 6th round pick to the Bills. And that's an offensive tackle helping that O-line.
Oh, yeah.
Then drafted a center, Bill Price. They re-signed Tyler Eifert, but lost Jeremy Hill. And signed Preston Brown, who's a linebacker I enjoy.
But in the Bills last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, for the Bengals, I think it's time to start rebuilding.
Get the coach out of there.
Coach needs to go. Andy Dalton needs to go. As much as lots of people like the guy, he's dirty and he's old.
He was actually could have been a Raider.
Vontaze Burfict needs to get shipped out. I think a guy like Vontaze Burfict would be hard to play with. I think he'd want to do his own thing. He'd think it's his locker room. Maybe the way why the couple reasons why he probably didn't go to the Ravens. I see in the same division, and could a guy like Vontaze, who
I think some legal trouble
could he play with Terrell Suggs? Both guys who are both dominant guys.
Where do you see him?
You said the Ravens.
I thought you said Raiders.
You said Ravens. T Sizzle.
You said T Sizzle.
I did say T Sizzle because you told me he was going to go to the Ravens.
No, I meant Raiders.
Oh, you told me Ravens. Now you just messed me up.
I meant Raiders. Bengals, I think, could easily be bottom tier of the AFC North.
I think so. I think it's going to go Steelers, Ravens, Cleveland, Bengals. I don't have nothing nice to say about the Bengals as a Steeler fan. Every time we play the Bengals, it's the roughest, meanest. I'm going to tear your knee off. If I get a chance, I'm going to rip your head off. It seems like every year, either Vontaze Burfict goes out and kills somebody, or someone goes out and dirtily hits Vontaze, and then it looks like the Steelers are the worst, dirtiest team in the league.
Just kind of looking at the schedule, I don't know. They play Colts week one. I think they walk away a win.
They're walking away with a win on Andrew Luck's return.
Is he even returning?
He's ready to go. I've heard he's ready to go. But
Bengals are just, they have, like, I looked at their transactions throughout the offseason. It's just like,
Bengals didn't make any big moves to make their team better.
Well, not even any big moves. They just, well, I guess drafting and trading for offensive line, that's going to help. But, like, other than that, it's like,
their big needs, I would say, corners.
Yeah.
Quarterback.
If they're offensive line.
O-line. If they're going to win, they got to get more than one receiver. But I think if I'm AJ Green, though, if nothing happens, if we finish worse than the Browns this year, I'm seriously considering finding a new team.
If
don't you think AJ Green would look good somewhere like Matt Ryan throwing him the ball?
Don't have the money. It'd look nice. Wouldn't happen.
Somebody like Tom Brady throwing him the ball. Tom Brady, AJ Green hookup.
I don't know where he'd go.
That would look nice.
But just looking at Cincinnati, they're 7-9. I think it's either best. Don't hate on me, Bengals fans, if there's any listening. 8-8. And then worse, 5 wins. And then 11 losses, kind of that. It's tough because the Bengals have been caught in that. They had that really good year. Like, oh my god. And then it fell apart. I don't know how. Is it Marvin Lewis?
Marvin Lewis is the worst coach in the NFL.
I don't know how.
He's the worst coach in the NFL. I'm saying it right now. He's the worst coach in the NFL. They make it pretty much every year to the playoffs. And they pretty much meet up with the Steelers every year. And Marvin Lewis can't find a plan to beat the Steelers.
Okay, if you're a...
I being a Steelers fan and being biased, I just hate talking about the Bengals because I just want to walk up to Vontaze Burfict and punch him in the face. I hate him so much.
You chirp the Bengals not being able to beat the Steelers, but the Steelers can't beat the Patriots in the playoffs.
Yeah, because no one can beat a guy who deflates their balls.
Except they ran the ball that game. Okay, so looking at 8-8, 5-11, what would you say? Take your heat out.
9-7 last year.
7-9.
7-9, sorry. Not making very many improvements drafting a center, drafting a tackle, really not adding any more weapons to their receiving core. Losing,
they might have. I haven't really.
Losing your running back.
I think which McCall's going to be it instead. I can't. Name's not there. Joe Mixon. I like Joe Mixon.
I'm saying, like you said, 8-8.
8-8 being the best.
8-8 being the best. And 6-11 being the worst.
You mean 5-11?
Yeah.
You thinking next Baltimore?
Yeah, Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Baltimore, Ravens, 9-7, and then 3-3 in the division. They made the biggest moves were probably wide receiver wise. They got a tight end in the draft in the first round. Drafted Lamar Jackson at the end of the first round. Could be a future quarterback. And then I was looking at their losses. I put Danny Woodhead's name on there because I'm just thinking for that receiving back wise, that could be a loss. But kind of, where would you like to start?
Again, quarterback wise, Joe Flacco's on the outs, I think. He's getting older. He's not getting older as in a Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady older. Getting better as you're getting older. He's going the other way. It's time to start. Maybe not this year, but next year, yep. Maybe they should. And also maybe this year too. If they know by week 14, 15, they're not making the playoffs, let the young guy play.
Yep.
Let him get some reps. Let him get some real game time. Because you might be playing a team that needs that win to get in competitive ball.
Yep. Yeah, Joe Flacco, we were kind of having this talk. Before we recorded, I think he's going to start the whole season. Unless injuries happen, because Joe Flacco does get hurt. Other than that, I think Lamar Jackson's going to be quarterback 2, RG3 is quarterback 3. And then Flacco will start this year, but the next year, I think he's going to be... They're going to be exploring options to get rid of him. But I hate talking about Lamar Jackson. Because as a Patriots fan, before the draft got started, we started hearing news that the Patriots like Lamar Jackson. We got to our first pick that we got from the Rams. We needed an offensive line help, so we took a win like that pick. Then we got to our 31st. Lamar Jackson sitting right there. I'm like, oh my god, the future. He's so fast. This is going to be amazing. He's going to learn over Tom Brady. Like, I was watching his live video and I was like, ready to be a Pat? Ready to learn from Tom Brady? New England takes a running back. Oh, it broke my heart. But Lamar Jackson, he's definitely not a start now.
No, he's not one of those guys you can just throw into the... He's not like a Jameis Winston. He's not a surefire starter.
Or like a Baker this year. Baker's kind of iffy. Sam Darnold. Josh Rosen. I like that guy. But another pick. Hayden Hurst, the tight end. Yeah, we always talk about Lamar Jackson. But Hayden Hurst is a... When Flacco's playing, keep an eye on that guy, I think. Because look at what Flacco did with Dennis Pitta. Like, he was good. He was really good. And then, sadly, injuries ended Dennis's career. And now they got Hayden Hurst. Flacco likes his tight end. So, quite sneaky pick right there. I like that pick. But then looking wide receiver-wise... They brought in a whole new wide receiver core. Michael Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Snead. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. New targets, new guys, all new. No familiarity for Flacco. Pretty much all three guys got to learn the system. They all got to learn the playbook. Are they all going to be sharp for week one?
Yeah.
They're going to know all the play calls, all the routes, everything. That's why I see with the Baltimore having a shaky start. Plus with a new tight end too, you're pretty much looking at every target is a new guy on your team. You don't know their hot streaks.
Yep.
You don't know their cold streaks. You don't know what they like to do, what they don't like to do. And maybe Joe Flacco is like a, you learn my way, you learn around me, and that's it. I'm not helping you. You're in the league. I'm running this team. This is my team. Don't try to tell me what to do.
Yeah, Flacco's, I don't know. But kind of just peeking at their schedule, they've got a, you could say, a pretty easy schedule. Not easy, like they're going to go 16-0, but I think they could go 10-6, to be completely honest. They start the season off playing the Bills. That's a win.
Oh, yeah, definitely win.
Bengals, I think that's a win.
Yep.
Broncos, I think week three, I wonder about Case Keenum. Has he found his groove? But I think that pass rush, that defense, that Broncos defense, I think the Broncos win that one. Steelers beat Ravens. Ravens beat Browns. Ravens beat Titans. Ravens lose to the Saints. Loss to the Panthers. Another loss to the Steelers. Maybe a loss to the Bengals or win. I think the Ravens will beat the Raiders. I'm not too high on the Raiders. Loss to the Falcons. Right here's a matchup I'm going to ask you about. Chiefs-Ravens. We're about 16-17.
The way I see the Chiefs is all that matters on if Patrick Mahomes, if he has a good season.
It's week 13, so the teams have been kind of playing
for a while. I that's the way I see it. If Patrick Mahomes is any good, if he's the surefire starter, and I'm not, and if it comes down to Patrick Mahomes being shaky and a vet Joe Flacco, I'm going to take Joe Flacco.
So
just for that reason.
You're thinking the Ravens could sneak away.
I think the Ravens are beating the Chiefs.
Buccaneers, Ravens, I think.
Again, depending on quarterback. Who knows? Winston might not even be a Buck by that time of the year.
And then I think they lose to the Chargers, but they win against the Browns. So, yeah. Best. I'm going to say the Ravens are 10-6, and worst 8-8. I think.
I agree. That sounds reasonable for the
Ravens. Because that defense is a good unit.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with the defense.
I think the biggest question is how are the receivers going to do? And Joe Flacco. That could be his play. That could be his health. It's up in the air, I think.
True.
But getting to the top of the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Super Bowl champions.
13-3 and 6-0 in the division. Some noticeable moves. Drafting wise, Mason Rudolph in the third round. James Washington, wide receiver in the second round. A wide receiver I quite enjoy. And safety, Terrell Edmonds. They lost. I'm saying lost. Ryan Shazier, William Gay, Mike Mitchell. And who was the wide receiver that just went?
Martavis Bryant.
Yep. But they signed Morgan Burnett and John Bostic. A linebacker, that.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start off?
You know your middle linebacker's out, and you draft a safety.
Well,
you draft a safety. That's
And my big issue, yeah, it's a safety, but Edmonds and Burnett are both strong safeties, I believe. I'd put him at strong safety. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable putting him at free safety. So now you're kind of looking at, well, who's my free safety?
Yeah, if you're going to start young guy and he's played strong safety his whole career, if you're going to have to switch one guy over, Morgan Burnett is going to have to switch to a free safety.
I don't like that move.
Well, I don't like them drafting him. Safety. I just... I wanted them to draft a linebacker.
Well, not only...
Vince Williams cannot be the starting middle linebacker.
Not only did they have the chance... No, I don't think they had the chance to take a linebacker. I think the Titans snuck up, or at their pick, they took the linebacker that could have been a Steeler. Had Steeler in all over him. Big issue is, I want to ask you this question, because it's going to be some drama this year, I think, possibly. They had the chance to take a running back to possibly replace Bell at any time in the draft. I don't think they did. Now you're sitting there. Bell is saying, I am gone. 2018, I'm sorry, Steelers. We weren't on the same page for contract talks. I am gone. How do you feel about that? You had the opportunity to take a good running back. I do mock drafts, so I had either a linebacker sliding to the Steelers or the Steelers taking a running back, to be completely honest.
Well, the way I kind of see it, maybe the Steelers, maybe they sign a, maybe what happens is this. Le'Veon says he's gone. He's gone. At the end of the season, Ben Roethlisberger retires. We free up $11 million cap space. And maybe we go back to Le'Veon and we say, hey, we got $11 million more here. But maybe not. Maybe he just lets him go. But, you know, free agency, you never know. There could be a guy. And I think Bell, this year is our best chance of making a Super Bowl run.
Yeah, I think this year...
If Bell wants to be paid as the number one guy, he's going to go out there and be the number one guy. He's going to go out there, show everybody what he's worth. He's going to play his heart out, and he's not going to let the Steelers fans down.
And another thing that I've heard from other podcasts, such as The Onside Kick, great podcast, take a listen to that. The Steelers could be like, okay, you're going to leave us? We're going to give you the ball 200 times. Which, you know, you laugh about it. It's not really... Because the running back life is so short, it's not the coolest thing to do. But the Steelers could do that. They could give them the ball 200 times. And by doing that, I think people are going to be like, that's a lot of mileage on 1 year. 200 touches? Oof. Not including receiving, because he's a receiving threat.
Yeah. I don't think Tomlin will do that. And why I say that is because we have the best receiver in the league on our team, too. And if you give Le'Veon Bell 200 touches, that takes 50. 100. Yeah. That takes a lot of touches away from Antonio Brown. And one thing I want to... Just a little side note on it. Antonio Brown, please break the Madden curse. Don't get the Madden curse.
He was announced the Madden 19 cover a couple days ago. Oh, the Steelers. I think you guys could be going down a dark path. If
Ben Roethlisberger, if you search your name up and you find this podcast, listen to me. Retire next year, please. Please retire. We need some cap space. Washington's coming up. Retire. You're old. Stop.
My big thing is, just looking 13-3, I think they're going to be at the top of the division. It's kind of clear. Biggest issue is defensively. They could hurt a bit on defense, I think.
Well, that's always been Pittsburgh's issue, is we've always had a good enough offense. We've always had...
Which is different, because the old Steeler championship, it was the steel curtain.
But, like, the Steelers, they're out of those three teams we just talked about, they're definitely going to be the top of their... In the AFC, in the AFC North, right?
Yep.
They're definitely going to be the top, but I think we're running into the same thing every year. We either got to play the Patriots in the playoffs.
The Jags now.
Or we got to play the Jags. And we're not beating them. We're just not. We can't beat those teams.
I'm 13-3. I can see it's repeated. Yep. Worst record you could give the Steelers. Because you got an idea who they're playing, most likely.
10-6.
10-6.
Oof. 11-5.
I don't know how I should feel, because they had two holes, possibly their running back and middle linebacker, and you gotta have a plan. And taking Edmonds, I don't even. He wasn't even the best available player at the moment when they were drafting.
I was pretty disappointed with the Steelers drafting this year. Besides,
Mason Rudolph
and Washington.
Two old teammates. I like that connection.
I liked the Washington pick. We're losing Bryant. Juju's moving up into the second. Washington going as your slot.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, getting kind of close to the end, you're thinking, Pittsburgh, playoff team, how are they going to do in the playoffs?
Well, like I just said, they're not beating the Patriots or the Jags. So, I hope in the playoffs somehow the Patriots and the Jags play each other. So, one of those guys get eliminated and maybe we can sneak by them, but... I can see next year being a grim season for the old terrible towel Steelers without Le'Veon. It's going to be tough to see him go.
Yeah, quick, I kind of just want to touch about this, because I saw on NFL Network, looking at the app, how will you remember the killer bees? The three bees. Big Ben, Antonio Brown, and Bell.
Best trio
that couldn't do anything. You gotta look at that.
A trio that couldn't win a Super Bowl.
And kind of shows, you know what? Having three star players that all want money may not be the best thing.
So, who do you see Le'Veon Bell signing with next year? Who's got the money for Le'Veon Bell?
I'd say Cleveland does, for sure.
Do you think, being a loyal guy like Bell, he'll sign back into the division?
I think Bell is just looking to get paid. I say Cleveland has the money. I don't think Cleveland's going to sign him, though. 49ers might take a jab. But they got McKinnon. Jets.
You know... I know Bell wants to get paid as the number one guy, and I get that. He is, I would say, the number one running back in the league.
He wants a running back and wide receiver, because he does put up numbers in the receiving game.
Yes, of course, but the teams you just named off in the next 5 years don't have a Super Bowl potential. Do you see the Jets going to the Super Bowl in the next 5 years?
No, that's a banged up
role. Do you see the 49ers going to the Super Bowl in the next 5 years?
I think if they could find receiving help, maybe, but that's
kind of banking. Yeah, but signing Le'Veon Bell then?
Yeah.
Could they find enough receiving help?
No. Nope.
And do you see the Cleveland Browns?
Even paying them? If I was Cleveland, I hate to tell you, Bell's been hurt. Bell may have a lot of mileage. He may want to get paid. I don't know if he's going to get paid. Like, he wants to be paid. Well,
he's never won. What's more important to you? Money or championships? To me, if I was going to play professional football, I want to wear a ring when I'm retired and walk around. When I go to the red carpet, when I go to the ESPYs, come on the red carpet and flash my ring around. Who cares if I flash $100 million around? Everybody knows I have $100 million. When you search up your name online, 3-time Super Bowl champion. That sounds a lot better.
So I think we're going to end this episode. It was a good one. We're going to do this for every division. Thank you for listening. It's been a while, but thank you for listening. I'm your host, Addison Ouellette.
I'm Morgan Matz.
And make sure you tweet us @A_Ouellette31.
And @MorganMatz1.
And have a good one.